Okay, now we're ready.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to call the Congressional Affairs Committee meeting to order. Today is May the 20th. It is 11:01 a.m. Next is roll call, please.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Congresswoman Edwards? Congresswoman Edwards?
Present.
Congressman Walker? Congressman
Here.
Walker? Thank you. Congressman Potts?
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present. Next on the agenda is prayer. I guess I can say the prayer for us today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious spring day. We have families that are requesting prayers today, and we ask that you hear our prayers for them. We ask that you remove this illness from this world so that our lives can be returned to normal. We also are thankful for the fact that in this time we've been able to realize that we, what we have in our selves and in our family relationships and in our lives, and that we will move forward as better people. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, next is the approval of the minutes.
Madam Chairwoman.
Congresswoman Edwards.
We've received the minutes as written, and at this time I move to reconsider the vote pertaining to the motion made by Congressman Potts.
The motion, which was?
The motion is to allow the speaker to direct Crone and Dunleavy, to respond to SCO 2001 not to exceed $25,000. And report to the Congressional Affairs Committee with a letter of intent.
And what is your consideration today?
Yep, my motion is to reconsider that.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. That puts us in discussion.
Discussion.
Congressman Walker.
I don't have a problem with reconsidering that motion. This is unprecedented from my memory. Does that fall under approval of minutes? Reconsider a vote from yesterday?
No, I don't think it would. So timing may be off here. Did we get through the approval of minutes? I'm sorry, clerk, did we not get through that?
The minutes have not been approved.
I'm sorry. So sorry. I let that stray me. So let's go back to minutes for now. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes? Have you all not finished reading the minutes, or?
Well, I've got a motion and a second on the floor, so point of order.
I think we're going to have to withdraw the motion on the floor. It's out of order with where we are right now on the agenda. It can come after the approval of the minutes. Reconsideration doesn't have to fall before the minutes are approved. That's a different action.
So you're stating that the motion is out of order?
I believe it's out of order because we don't have any approved minutes right now. So I'm saying go back to approve the minutes and then we'll go to your motion.
Second Speaker Stabler. I'm operating at limited capacity here. I'm looking on the notice, but I don't have a copy of the minutes on the notice. Can somebody tell me where else I can find them?
Congresswoman Whitehorn, I sent them just a few minutes before the meeting.
I can't get into SharePoint.
They're in your email.
They're in my email?
The minutes are. I don't know where the motion is.
Yes, I see them right now. I see them right now. I've got them. Thank you.
So right now, I'm backing up to the minutes. I need either a motion to approve the minutes or a correction to the minutes.
I'm almost through with my review.
Okay.
Question. Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes, Congresswoman Walker.
Your inauguration shows where I made the motion to authorize. There was a motion prior to that that failed. Does that need to be reflected in the minutes?
Clerk.
No, I guess. It didn't get a second, did it?
It's not in the minutes. If it died for a lack of a second, it's not in the minutes.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I have one more question pertaining to the minutes, but it's not a correction. Can I ask the question?
Whitehorn.
Yes, just on the last motion that we made under moratorium of travel mileage per diem and food, we made a motion to approve the letter, 2020 budget legislative branch to the speaker from the second speaker. My question about that is we've done that in committee, and I believe that. Do we need to send that letter to the body that this was a recommendation? Does that need to be reported as a recommendation, or today do we need to make that as a recommendation to Congress so the full body will have that? That's my only question about these minutes.
I CC'd it to the body. The letter was addressed to the speaker. I don't know if that helps any at all. But. I don't think I have any.
Was it one that you CC'd
yes.
at the beginning of all of this?
I CC'd all the members and the staff.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That was my question.
Okay. Still looking for a motion or a correction to the minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Have a motion. You have a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, minutes are approved. All right, now Shannon, we'll go to your motion.
Madam Chair, I abstained on that motion for the minutes. Okay, my motion is to, I move to reconsider the motion and vote under the item budget for select committee of inquiry and related litigation.
We have a second.
Second.
Chair, there, a second is not needed for this motion. Not required.
Motion to reconsider. The motion is not needed? I mean, motion to reconsider, the motion does not need a second? Is that what you're saying?
The motion to reconsider does not require a second. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So then do we go into discussion?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the motion again is to reconsider. Clerk, can you repeat the motion?
The motion is to reconsider. The motion to vote under the item budget for select committee of inquiry and related litigation. And the discussion has to pertain to the motion that was made by the committee yesterday.
Okay, so we're in discussion now. Congresswoman Edwards.
So the item on the agenda pertained to a budget for related litigation. When you look at the motion goes beyond a budget. So I believe I was voting in furtherance of setting a budget, but having seen the motion now, it goes beyond that. So I'd like for us to reconsider that vote and the motion.
Chairwoman.
And I want to change my, and I want to change my vote to an abstention.
Okay, Congressman Walker, did you have some comments?
I did. I made a point to read the budget for the agenda item twice yesterday when we were discussing it. And I also wondered about, you know, how broad the related litigation went. That is really why I didn't bring up an issue regarding the, I guess the, whether or not the motion was germane to the agenda item. I felt like related litigation caught it.
Okay, so what the her for reconsideration is on the vote. So now Congresswoman Edwards wants to change her vote to an abstention.
Well, my motion is to reconsider the motion and the vote.
Yes.
Okay, clerk, so what do we I'm not sure how to back this out then.
You're basically going to be re-voting on the motion that was made yesterday.
Okay.
Once debate ends, that's what you're doing is re-voting on that motion.
The motion for yesterday. Okay. All right. Any further discussion? So this roll call vote.
Stabler, this is Brandy.
Yes.
Thank you, Chairwoman Stabler. May I ask, I got on the call a little later.
And, no, we're in a vote. We're into a vote now.
Were you still in discussion?
No, we were just moving to the vote.
No votes have been taken yet, so you can continue discussion if you like. If not, we can continue with the vote.
I just assume continue with the vote.
Yes, ma'am.
Roll call vote.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
What are we voting on right now? I'm confused, very confused.
We're re-voting on the motion from yesterday.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were, okay. We are now voting on the motion. I apologize. Yes. I thought we were voting on whether to reconsider. If we're voting on it, I am saying.
Okay, we're voting on the motion from yesterday as read yesterday.
Point of order.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I abstain.
We're voting on the motion to reconsider, and then we'll vote on the motion from yesterday. It takes two-thirds vote to reconsider. It takes two-thirds vote to reconsider the motion from yesterday. So we've got to vote on the motion to reconsider first, and then we will vote on the motion from yesterday.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we are voting on the reconsideration of the motion.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Wait, we're voting on the motion to reconsider, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Congressman Walker?
Very different thing. Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congressman Walker, I couldn't hear that.
Yes.
Thank you. Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes.
Now the motion, or now you would be voting on the motion that passed yesterday, and you would be voting on that motion whether or not you will pass it again today or whether or not it will fail. Would you like to proceed with the vote at this time?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
No. What agenda item are we on? Approval of minutes?
No. We've had a motion to reconsider a motion from yesterday.
Now you're voting on the same motion that was taken yesterday.
So can I make a subsequent motion after this?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, parliamentarian says yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Abstain.
Congressman Stabler, Congresswoman Stabler?
No.
Motion fails.
Chairwoman?
Congressman Walker?
I move to direct the speaker to communicate with the executive branch to see. No, that's the wrong part of the minute. I move, strike that, move to allow the speaker to direct move to allow the speaker to direct Barlin Graham to respond to Supreme Court Opinion 2020-01, not to exceed $25,000, and report to the Congressional Affairs Committee with a letter of intent.
Madam Chair.
Congressman Potts.
What agenda item are we on?
We asked the parliamentarian if we could continue with the motion, and she said we would not be out of order to continue with the motion, the same way we allowed Congresswoman Edwards to continue with the motion.
Chairwoman.
I withdraw. Withdraw.
All right. So if we aren't. So then that's it. So the reconsider of the motion has failed.
Yes. The motion that was made yesterday has failed.
Speaker, I mean, Chairwoman Stabler, this is Brandy.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. I appreciate you recognizing me, Congresswoman Stabler. I realize I'm not a member of this committee, but I am thoroughly confused. And I'm trying to follow along in the meeting. And I heard that you reconsidered a motion, and then but the motion wasn't restated. So what just happened? If somebody could please enlighten me, because it sounds like Congresswoman Edwards wanted to change her vote after all the debate that happened yesterday to abstention after she voted yes. And then there seemed like to be some confusion. And so when I did ask to be recognized earlier, that was what I was trying to understand, is that the whole entire purpose of this reconsideration is so that Congresswoman Edwards would be allowed to change her vote to abstention. Am I on the right page now on who we're going to hire for litigation on the lawsuit that Congresswoman Edwards has filed against Congress, which she sits on, which now was that where we're at?
The motion has failed, so there is no action to hire any group regarding that petition.
Correct.
Second Speaker Stabler, Whitehorn.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I just read in my email that the Supreme Court is not going to hear that that filing. They denied to hear it, so I think that everything's moot now, quite possibly.
Okay, thank you. I hadn't seen that. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move on with the agenda, and the next item on the agenda was the furlough and policy. Excuse me, where am I? Dang it. Here it is. Furlough policy and procedures. I took that from a prior meeting that we had when we were talking about a piece that Congresswoman Edwards had brought forward that we were discussing for policies and procedures. But now it's encompassing the letter that I drafted to send to the speaker and to notify Congress of a moratorium and the procedures that we would use in the time of this pandemic to get the offices into a state of some form of being open. And so that's what's on the table right now. And yesterday, I believe it was Congresswoman Whitehorn had expressed maybe we should hold it over to a meeting today so that we could discuss the contents of it. So does anybody have any? Yes?
Well, this is how things got off track yesterday. The agenda item is furlough policies, and I think we need to stick to the agenda items on the agenda. So I'm prepared to discuss our furlough policy today.
Okay.
I agree that I thought we were going to discuss something else, but when I got the agenda, it only had furlough policy on it, so.
Well, that's what that was the item that was left on the agenda yesterday, so I carried it over. So I guess that's my error, not making it clearer. So, okay, so your furlough policy. Take up where we left off on.
Well, again, not fully understanding what the executive branch's furlough policy is, although it appears to be that you apply Osage preference to furlough. I don't think the law doesn't state that. So I think we need to decide how our furlough policy works in the case of a furlough, because it could happen. So is it under a merit law? I think it would be according to merit. I said suggested that.
Go ahead, finish your statement.
I had suggested that we craft a policy based on the performance evaluations and or some other method, and maybe even seniority, if that's appropriate, but I don't think it's appropriate to just say, if you're Osage, you're furloughed last, and if you're not, you're furloughed first, under a merit system of employment. But maybe so. Okay. I just want to, okay. I want to have a discussion on that.
Okay, this is, I remember this discussion that we had. Now, what you had presented to us included terminations and RIFs. And really, I think what you're referring to is more regarding terminations and RIFs and not furlough. Furlough is that we don't have work right now, or we don't have the money right now. So we release everyone with the intent of bringing them back if there is work. So a reduction in force or termination was where really Osage preference would come into play. But for a furlough, it has to do with the job you're doing. And it has to do with the necessity of your duty or your, oh gosh, you know, what word I'm trying to think of is whether you are part of the
essential.
No, so are we talking about a reduction in force, or are we talking about a furlough? Congresswoman Eddy?
I'm talking about reduction, and I'm talking about furlough. And I thought that there was a possibility, or there is a possibility now and in the future, that certain people would be furloughed and others would not. If it's your thought that no one that's deemed essential can be furloughed if there's a cash flow or other inability to pay the salaries of the employees, then I guess the policy will be that all essential employees are required to be paid and cannot be furlowed. But I think point was.
Okay, you can furlough everyone, or you and furlough just means you're not being paid, so you don't work. Essential employees are deemed to keep the company going or the business going of the office, and that's based on their position. If you're not going to return everybody to work, then that becomes a reduction in force. And then that's a whole different series, or, you know, different category and different experience. But just a furlough just sends them off the clock and home for a time with the intent of bringing them back. And with some furloughs, then, you know, especially with the federal government furloughs, then Congress decides they may furlough someone for 2 weeks and then bring them back and go ahead and pay them for the 2 weeks they sent them home. So we can determine how we're going to run a furlough based on this pandemic. But we also declared all of our employees as essential staff, since we have such a small staff. So we can send everybody home if we want to and close the offices. But but to say we're going to send you know, particular people home just because I guess I'm missing your point. You're trying to hang on to who or to what class of employee, or why would it not have to do with the job they do and not the fact whether it's an Osage preference position or not?
I'm just saying that we look at the executive branch. We'll follow the policies of the executive branch unless we say that we are going to change that. It was my understanding that the executive branch had a furlough policy based on Osage preference. If that's wrong, then fine. But if it's right, I think that we ought to adopt a policy that makes it clear how our employees are furloughed. And if it's that every employee that's deemed it's essential, I mean, I'm not sure that how that solves what your problem is if you're having to furlough, but I know that we voted on that. But if that's what we're going to do, then our policy should be no essential employee may be furloughed unless all essential employees are furloughed. And if that's not the case, then I think we ought to reconsider naming everyone an essential employee.
Okay.
Chairwoman.
Congressman Walker.
Have I overlooked a policy, a furlough policy, that we are reviewing and considering right now? Are we just talking about it?
Yeah, I think we'd have to have it re-sent out. I remember us looking at it, but I don't have it in front of me, of course.
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you said we have three employees and we have deemed them as essential employees. If and when we get to the point where we can't pay them and need to furlough them or make another decision, we can do it at that time. We're not there yet. And I would agree that we're not just going to utilize the executive branch's furlough policy, or at least what I saw as being considered their policy regarding Osage, non-Osage. We have three employees. We can deal with them if and when we need to.
Mm-hmm. We actually have more than three employees.
Mm-hmm. True.
And our policy states that within 60 days, if we don't adopt a different policy, then we're going to follow the executive branch's policy. And I don't think that it's fair to the employees to make up a policy when it's time to react to the situation of deciding to furlough. I think we need to either agree that we are going to accept the executive branch's policy, or we need to pass our own policy.
Okay.
If we're going to adopt the executive branch's furlough policy, then we do nothing. But if we want to adopt our own policy, then we need to craft it.
So when you were working on... Sure, just a moment, Congresswoman Whitehorn. So, Congresswoman Edwards, when you were working on the policy that you brought before us before... What was the nation's policy that you edited?
Pulling it up.
Didn't
off
you bring
the,
a policy?
I don't think I brought a policy regarding furlough.
What did you bring a policy for? Congresswoman Whitehorn, do you have something to add to this?
Yes, I'm not looking at any policy that anyone has brought to the table, but I did pull up the nation's policy, and it is titled Employee Separation. And within this policy, they don't reference furlough at all. They reference, and I emailed all of you a link to that. They reference involuntary termination, reduction in force, layoff.
Go down to layoff.
And then compensation. And then they give the procedures for each one of those, voluntary, involuntary.
Okay.
So I don't believe that the nation's policy ever cites the word furlough, layoff.
No, but
it's not the same as is layoff the same as furlough? Would that be synonymous?
Yes, layoff would be synonymous, I believe. And I'm reading quickly here. Yeah, each job within the layoff plan shall be coded as essential or non-essential in furthering the department's mission statement and services provided by the department. Each layoff plan must evaluate the position in the department affected by the layoff. I'm not seeing anything in here that talks about
Director of Operations is going to prepare the plan, so we don't want to follow that. It also says that the plan will identify the positions by classification and identify incumbents to be laid off through consideration of Osage preference, ability, and seniority.
Where did you find that?
That's right above the paragraph about essential and non-essential.
Okay, so if we took that paragraph and changed it. Go ahead.
It also says you can provide 2 weeks severance pay in lieu of 10 working days notice to lay off.
Mm-hmm. That's actually out of the federal plan.
Well, I've been watching how furlough has been done, and for example, one of the places that I know is furloughing for a week at a time each of the employees. So
yeah,
it would be something like once every 5 weeks an employee is furloughed for a week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the idea that you would pay severance pay. I thought severance pay related to termination of employment. But I'm not an expert in this area. What does severance pay mean?
I don't know. I'd have to look up a definition for it to give you the right answer. But I just know from federal experience that we were notified in advance, 10 days in advance. Everybody had to sign off that they had received a notification of a furlough. And so that's really all you have to do. And then, like I said, it was even up to Congress. So I was furloughed once, and then we got paid anyway. And there's different kinds of furloughs. And so maybe it is a case of where we have a policy in place that has the general orders of it, but that each one has to be determined. Because in most cases, it has to do with budgets. just like we're facing here, there's a shortfall in the budget. And so, furloughs are proposed and they're scheduled and then comes the day and you find out for sure whether you're one of the ones going out the door or one of the ones staying for sure. And then how long it'll be. And then they're just notified. We're notified when to come back.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
The definition of severance pay from one source, the Oxford Language Dictionary, is an amount paid to an employee upon dismissal or discharge from employment.
Okay.
So I don't know why we would adopt a policy that gives severance pay in lieu of notice of a furlough. I thought the idea is with furlough is to ease the burden on the economic burden for a short period of time or whatever period of time it takes in order to be able to maintain that employment.
Yes. The way I see it too.
Second speaker Whitehorn.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, that's where I'm thinking that a layoff plan and a furlough plan are not synonymous just by reading,
mm-hmm.
by reading what this policy is, because it says in this policy, when a vacancy occurs in a position on the recall list, persons appearing on the list will be offered the employment in inverse order of their layoff date, earliest to most recent, prior to considering other persons for employment with consideration of Osage preference. An employee that is recalled to the same position within 6 months will be assigned to a new annual performance review date. No, excuse me, that's not where I wanted to read. The names of the employees who are laid off or continue employment in the lower positions will be placed on a recall list, giving the position held at the time of layoff. The recall list will be maintained for a period of 6 months from the effective date of the layoff. So I think that's probably why you have severance pay language in here. You can either have 10 days notice or take the 10 days severance pay, because a layoff, you don't know if you have an expectation to come back after this 6 month period, although lists are maintained to recall employees. A furlough to me is not a termination. You will still have your job continually
yes.
throughout that furlough period. So I think a layoff plan and a furlough plan are two different things, and I don't believe that the nation has a furlough plan. So that's my take on reading this policy, and I don't know which one that we would want to follow as the legislative branch, if we would prefer to implement a furlough plan instead of a layoff plan.
I think for us, a furlough plan is the right direction to go.
I would agree with that. So I think that probably there's some language in this layoff plan that we could adopt and fashion and craft
mm-hmm.
only with a view on furlough instead of layoff.
Okay.
So we don't have any language in front of us to... Nobody's crafted any language for this, so I don't know how far we're going to get in this meeting, if we're going
mm-hmm.
to actually sit here and write while we have 15.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know what you noticed the meeting till, but it's 11:45.
Mm-hmm. Congresswoman Edwards?
Well, I have a proposal to start the conversation.
Okay.
And it would be a policy that states this. When it becomes necessary to furlough legislative branch employees for a period of time, non-essential employees will be furloughed first in 2-week intervals. When it becomes necessary to furlough essential employees, employees will be furloughed in 1-week intervals in order of seniority.
Okay, I'm fine with parts of that. But I don't think you can determine, each situation is going to determine the amount of time. So you can write it so that it it basically discusses, you know, essential or tiered employees, or you know, talk about the position of the employees. And then we'd have to determine the time, because maybe it's not a 2 week period. Maybe it's a 1 day, a pay period, or maybe it's a month later on. You know, it's not always going to be the same. So if we're writing a general furlough policy, it just needs to talk about how that's going to be performed and not give a designated time frame. You see where I'm going?
Yes, but I think I do see where you're going, and I'm okay with that to a point. But I mean, I don't think it's fair to the employee, again, to say, okay, you're furloughed, and we'll let you know when you can come back, and not give them some guidance as to what that is. I mean,
that would be in the letter that you give them at the time that you notice them of a furlough, of an upcoming furlough. So the letter would designate the time frame and when to expect updates, or when to check in, or when to expect to return to work. And so it would be the policy to determine how we would categorize a furlough, and then the process would be in the notification letter, in the, you know, communication preferences, follow during the furlough, who's supposed to contact who's supposed to update who.
So then the policy would say something like, the Congressional Affairs Committee shall pass and distribute a furlough plan at least 10 days in advance of any planned furlough.
Yes.
So then it would need to say, will be furloughed in defined in intervals described in a furlough plan.
Sure. Yes.
So then it would read, when it's necessary to furlough employees for a period of time, non-essential employees will be furloughed first in intervals described in a furlough plan. When it becomes necessary to furlough essential employees, employees will be furloughed in increments, in intervals described in the legislative branch furlough plan in order of seniority. The Congressional Affairs Committee shall pass and distribute a furlough plan, any necessary furlough plan, within 10 days in advance of any planned furlough.
Okay, yeah.
So can I write that out and make that motion if we're ready to do that?
I think that much would get us through this pandemic time, you know, as a start. What does everyone else feel?
I would concur. I
Whitehorn?
Yes, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I believe that we do need to get that in place. And like I said, what time is this meeting notice to Congresswoman?
To 12, Paper? I think.
I would like to be able to read it in full before we vote on it. And if we have time to do that, I would certainly like to get this off this committee's table today, because I do think it's important to have it in place. So I'm willing to wait to see the final draft of it, take a look, see through it, and vote on this.
Okay. How are you doing, Congresswoman Edwards?
Right and fast.
Chairwoman.
Congressman Walker.
Just curious. Congresswoman Whitehorn, were you saying have time to look at it and vote on it at our next meeting or in the next 6 or 8 minutes.
If I may, second speaker?
Yes, please.
No, RJ, no, Congressman Walker. I don't know when we'll meet again. I don't know that we're even able to have interim meetings the way our rules are right now. So I think that it's something that we probably need to hang out and look at the final draft today and vote on it before we adjourn this meeting. So ideally, if we could, you know, meet in a couple of days again and look at it, that would be great. But I don't know that we are able to do that. So I say let's do it today.
Chairwoman.
Congressman Walker.
I just feel like we're shooting from the hip. I mean, this has been on the agenda for a while. I don't think that anybody is going to be furloughed in the next month or 6 weeks. And I didn't understand the statement about not being able for CA not to have or be able to have interim meetings. We have monthly interim meetings, but this could be reviewed. I don't see why we wouldn't draft something, get something out there for us and the body to review, including legal counsel, and consider it at the next meeting. We're technically furloughed between now and the next CA meeting.
Well, and I tried to initiate a motion before so that we could go ahead and continue with electronic meetings out of session. And this was one of the reasons. The CA committee was one of the main reasons for that, because they do need to meet. We've got a lot on our table.
We'll make that motion again under motions and notices today.
I might, yeah.
Second Speaker Stabler, this is Brandy.
Congresswoman Lennon.
Thank you, Second Speaker Stabler. I tend to have experience with policy, and some people do, some people don't. And when you tend to rush policy and try to rush it out the door, if you want to call it that, of course you can always amend it, but never really tends to be in the best interest to rush something of this nature. And I'm in favor of you, of the Congressional Affairs Committee being able to meet electronically. We've been doing it this way now since all of HUNCA session and special sessions now. And so I'm not against any of the things that you guys are trying to attempt to get done. It's just when you rush something, I just don't feel that it's, you know, that it's the best, it's a good standard to be on. And I'm actually surprised that some of the members are that way, because there's many times that they take the time to let us all know that we shouldn't be rushing through certain situations and having a knee-jerk type of reaction. And so I am actually a little bit surprised at some of the comments, but I would be in absolute favor of you reasserting the motion. And I would be a yes vote for you guys to meet electronically, because you have to do the business for us. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Congressman Edwards, how are you doing? Is there somebody else that spoke? I'm sorry.
No, I sent it out.
Congressman Potts.
Oh, Congressman Potts, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just feel like this needs to be spoken to. This isn't the first time that a furlough policy has appeared on our agenda. This isn't the first time we've discussed it. We've been down this before. I don't feel that this is rushed today, and I feel that we would be further rushed 6 weeks down the road if we are ever put in a situation to have to develop a furlough policy once we get to that point. So I think that passing something out today would be prudent. That gives us the ability to operate. It gives the employees security to know at least here's the plan. I don't feel that this is rushed at all, and I'm ready to move forward with a basic statement right now, knowing that we can continue to work later.
Thank you. Okay, did you say you sent that out, Congresswoman Edwards?
I did. I sent it out by email and by text.
Hasn't arrived yet.
It didn't arrive on your text.
Mm-mm. There it is.
Well, I do know things that are delayed. Does anybody have it?
Chairwoman, I have it in my text. I do not have it by email. This is the clerk.
Yes, clerk, go ahead.
I was just stating I have it in text. I do not have it in email.
Let me check my email. For some reason, it's stuck in my... For some reason, it's stuck in my outbox. So can you guys look at your text?
Oh, I have been. I haven't received it.
Madam Chair, I have received it by text.
Okay, you want to read the motion? Congresswoman Edwards, you want to read the motion?
I move that legislative branch policy and procedure manual be amended to include the following at the appropriate place in the manual. When it becomes necessary to furlough employees for a period of time, employees deemed non-essential would be furloughed first in intervals described in the legislative branch furlough plan relative to the need for a furlough. When it becomes necessary to furlough essential employees, those employees will be furloughed in an interval described in the legislative branch furlough plan in order of seniority. The Congressional Affairs Committee shall pass any necessary furlough plan no less than 10 days in advance of any planned furlough.
There's a motion. There a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
Discussion.
Congressman Walker.
That on its face, listening to it, it sounds somewhat reasonable. If this was so important, why are we doing it in the last 30 seconds of this scheduled meeting? This can wait. I'm just saying, I'm going to vote no if we're going to be forced to vote today. Sounds like it's passed, though.
Any other discussion?
Madam Chair.
Congressman Potts.
I think this is important, and it's been on multiple agendas. It's been needing to be addressed for a long period of time. I think it's time that we address it. I think it's appropriate that the Congressional Affairs Committee address it, and I'll be voting in support of it today. I think it gives flexibility to later further describe the plan, but it gives employees security right now to know what the plan is.
Chairwoman.
Congressman Walker.
Sorry for the tit for tat. This was the only thing on the agenda today. It was also on yesterday's agenda. In the last 5 minutes, Congresswoman Edwards has hastily drafted something and is trying to text it and email it around. I haven't even gotten it yet, so I'm done.
Any further comment?
Yes, just I have a further comment, second speaker. I know that what this committee and what the policy, how our policies apply is if we don't have a policy in place, then we defer to the nation's policy. And currently the nation has a layoff policy up on our examination today. We did spend some time looking at that. So I think it's important to have this language in our policy so our employees do know what to expect. Otherwise, they're looking at the HR policies that have a layoff plan in it that I don't think is fitting for our branch and our employees and our small staff. So I'm going to go ahead and support this, inserting this into our policy and procedures today, and that way it'll be on the books. And if we want to take it out and review it again, we can certainly do that. So thank you.
Okay. There are no further comments. Then all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed?
Me.
Okay. Motion passes. We're at the end of our agenda. We are at the end of our agenda, and without objection, we are adjourned.